Matthew 22. Matthew 22, and we'll read verse 32, and the title, again, is The Living. Matthew 22:32, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Well, I couldn't hardly sit on my seat from Brother Jerry.
I can see that.
Got up and read that from Luke. Well, in what sense is God the God of the dead that He is not, or the God of the living that He is not the God of the dead? In what sense is that? Well, let's begin to look back through the scripture and begin at Genesis chapter 17. Genesis 17. Now, the question I ask is this: in what sense is our God, who is the God of the living, not the God of the dead?
Yeah.
Well, let's look at Genesis 17:7. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee and their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. Well, He's the God of the living. He is the covenant God of those whom He sent His Son in this world to save.
Amen.
And He said, to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee, that is the spiritual seed of Abraham, whom our God, the living God, is their God. Now, he is the God of this whole world. There's no question about that. And he is the proprietor, the owner of this whole world. As He said in Psalm 50, verse 10, the cattle on a thousand hills are mine, saith the Lord. And if I was hungry, I wouldn't ask you, He told Israel. But he is a God to those who live,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
To those to whom He gives life. Now, in the creation, it is said. And I didn't look this verse of scripture up, and I wish I had. But it said, man and female created He them. And then He calls it, then He says, in another place, created He him. So, the man was not complete until the woman was made.
That's true.
He wasn't complete. He could not go forth and accomplish the purpose of God, which was to replenish the earth in Himself. He had to have a help meet for Him. And so, in process, when God pleased, He caused Adam to fall into a deep, deep sleep.
Yeah.
And he took out of his side a rib and closed up the flesh thereof. And of that flesh he builded a woman. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, the second man. 1 Corinthians 15:47. Let's turn there right quick. 1 Corinthians 15:45 and then 47. First Corinthians 15:45. So it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterward that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. So, Adam was caused to fall into a deep sleep, and the Lord took out of his side a rib and made a woman. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ, when he was crucified, fell into a very deep sleep, the sleep of death. But out of his side came forth blood and water. And that's a picture of justification and sanctification. Sanctification or justification by the blood, sanctification by the water. And through his pierced side, the Lord is now making what has been made in his mind from everlasting and help meet for our Lord Jesus Christ, his church and people. Male and female created he them. So God knew from the very beginning of the first creation that man wasn't complete without his helpmate. And our Lord Jesus Christ is not complete without the fullness of him who filleth all in all. That's our Lord Jesus Christ, and speaking of the church. The church is the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We are his body. He is the head, we are the body. And he, as the Christ, he was not complete until... Is the head complete without its body? It's not. That's not the man, the new man, one new man. That's not the Christ as he is considered in Scripture. Considering Christ as the Christ, you must consider the head with the body. Look at that. Let's go to some familiar scriptures and think about that just a minute. Look at 1 Corinthians 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. And now look at verse 27. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. So as the head without the body is not complete, so Christ, considered as Christ, and that is our Lord Jesus joined to His body, is one new man. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 22. Well, let's begin reading in verse 18. Go back and pick up the beginning of this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. What is the riches of the glory of His inheritance? Not our inheritance in Him, but His inheritance in us. When all His body is gathered together in glory, arrayed or dressed in His beauty, and all singing the praises of God, and how, as Brother Jerry said, how magnificent is the love of God to us, and what joy in our arriving in glory, that eternal helpmeet that God has purposed from everlasting. He has loved us even as He loved the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's read this. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Now we're all going to be arrayed in His glory. And what a glorious time that will be. It's incomprehensible. We can't begin to comprehend that. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power. Now, sometimes we might take faith for granted, but it's not a thing to be taken for granted. It is a very rare thing. The faith of God's elect is an exceeding rare thing. Though to those who have it, they understand that it's a very rare thing, and they understand how precious it is, but it's something that's with us all the time. And as something that is with you all the time begins to be taken for granted, sometimes we begin to take the faith of God's elect a little bit for granted, and it might not seem the stupendous gift that it is. And so we need to take stock from time to time and remember how well endowed we are of our God with the seeing eye, the hearing ear, the understanding heart, the ability put within us to believe the gospel. And if we find that we do believe the gospel, then we can know for a fact that we are known of God.
Yeah.
As He is known of us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whom to know is life eternal.
Yeah.
And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to us who believe according to the working of His mighty power? It is because of the working of His mighty power that we are enabled to believe. Which He wrought in Christ, this same power, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Now that spiritually speaking, the whole body was raised out of His grave together. And the grave, the cloth that had been over His face or over His head was folded and laid aside to itself. We're not the Christ, but we're His body. We're not Christ personal. We're not the personal Christ. We're not God in human flesh. We never will be anything like that. But we are His members. And when He is considered as the Christ, the Redeemer, the one who gave Himself a ransom, the one who purchased us from the curse of the law, who delivered us from the hands of Satan, and who brought us out of the captivity and set us free unto God our Father, we are considered in union with Him. The exceeding greatness of His power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in the world to come, and hath put all things under His feet. Well, we're going to reign with Him. Adam and Eve were joint. I don't know what the word, but they had dominion over everything. It was given to the both of them. And we will be with Him. We'll sit down in the Father's throne with Him.
Amen.
Revelation 3:21. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Now, there will be no missing parts. Every part of Christ that was in that grave of His body came out together.
Yeah.
All right, let's continue on. Now look at 2 Samuel 23:5. Thank you. Now this is King David, and this is his last words. And he says, although my house be not so with God, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant. I don't think we can hardly begin to enter into those words. God hath made with David and every believer of all ages an everlasting covenant. God made the covenant. And in that covenant, he promised to be our God and to give us eternal life. This life is in his Son. God hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordering all things and sure. This is all my salvation and my desire, although he maketh not to grow. Now look at Ezekiel. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36:25. Now this is the promise that was given by the Holy Spirit through Ezekiel. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness, and from all your idols will I cleanse you. Well, we all fell into sin in Adam, and we fell into his ruin, into total depravity, and all of those things. But the promise here is that he would sprinkle clean water upon us, and we should be clean. Well, the sprinkling of clean water is preaching of the gospel by someone whom God has ordained to preach the gospel. Where in Ephesians 5:26, he said, "Husband, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." So the word preached in the power of the Holy Spirit is called here the sprinkling of water upon his people, and with the outcome that they would be cleansed or justified through believing. Of course, those who are not guilty and those who are justified, the law requires that they must live. So again, our God is the God of the living. I'll sprinkle clean water upon you. I'm going to cause you to pass under the preaching of the gospel. Turn back to chapter 20 here in Ezekiel. Chapter 20, verse 37, is a very similar expression. "And I will cause you to pass under the rod," which is the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. "I will cause you to pass under the rod, and will bring you into the bond of the covenant," into all of the covenant privileges that belong to the children of God. The love of the Father, and everything concerned in what might be called the bond of the covenant. All things that we, justification, sanctification, redemption, all those things that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, "I will cause you to pass under the rod," and it's the same as, "I will sprinkle you with clean water, and you shall be clean From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Now those are all things that the living do. The living. Our God is the living God. And we are His people. We are quickened by the Lord Jesus Christ. John 5:21. As the Father hath power over all flesh, quickeneth whom He will. Even so the Son quickeneth whom He will. Ephesians 2:1. And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. So, after we are visited by the Holy Spirit, and after He sprinkles us with the gospel and causes that gospel to take root in our heart and grow and become, we believe the word, we're justified from all things and given life in the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the God of the living and not the God of the dead. Look at Matthew 7. Verse 21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So, these are the religious folks, and they're sincere. They're sincere, and they do the best they know of them. But the thing is, they refuse to know the God of the Bible. They won't have anything to do with the living God. They reject the knowledge of a God who elected some and not others. And they reject the living God who predestinated those whom He elect to eternal life. They won't have a God like that, and they send a message after Him saying, we'll not have this man to reign over us. And their message is a horrible message, because it brings death to those who receive. It's just like in the first creation. First thing the Lord did was divide the light from the darkness. Let there be light. And there was light. And so He separated the light and the darkness. And then in 1 Corinthians or in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, He said, you are the children of light. You're not of the darkness and of the night, but you're the children of the day. He is the God of the living, and not He has no covenant relationship. They do not. They have no part in His covenant love. And in that respect, He's not the God of the dead, although He is the sovereign Lord over all of them.
Yeah.
But he does not claim to be their God. I will be unto them a God, and they shall be my people.
Amen.
Now we can know from that our believing the gospel, our rejoicing in the Lord Jesus Christ is not from ourselves. It's not our own work. Now think about when you come down to die, and try to think seriously about that. And I know that's something that's hard for us to do. We all know that we're going to die, but we don't really think about it. But the hour is coming, if time goes on long enough, that we're going to be facing death. Each one of us. Do you want the salvation of your soul based on anything that you did?
No.
I want the salvation of my soul. I want that robe that I wear on that judgment day to be completely of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I don't want to try to add anything to it, take anything from it. I want to be completely of the Lord. He is a complete Savior.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll tell you how real that is. I went out with a friend of mine this week, and he has what's probably terminal cancer. And he said, "Well, Al," he said, "the Lord's healed me." I said, "Well, how so?" He said, "Well, He's made me not afraid." He said, "I'm not afraid of dying." He knows he's dying. He's pretty sure that before long, he's going to take his last breath. He said, "Now I'm not afraid." And I said, "Well, brother, it's easy as long as our whole salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's easy not to worry. As long as your faith is in Christ alone for all salvation, getting down to death is worse than death. Getting down to where you can die, where you can turn this mortal man off, where he can passing over. I don't think it holds any dread for those people who have their eye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Now, if you have it any other place, if you have it on your works, your good conduct, anything other than the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ, then there's fear there.
Yeah.
But if it's in just the Lord Jesus Christ, just like somebody said, "Well, do you think that Christ is enough?" And the reply was, "He's enough if He's all you got." And that's the way it is. He's enough. He's the living Lord. And He's the Lord of those who are living. He is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So that tells you something about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They're living. They're living in glory.
Yeah.
Right now. With all the saints of all ages, they're there with Him who is their life. Look at 1 John 5. First John 5. And I'd like to begin reading at verse 7 and read down through verse 11. For there are three that bear record in heaven, or bear testimony or witness in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit, and the water, and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He's the God of the living. He's given us of that life that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. We share in his life. Go to Galatians chapter 2. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, yet nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. It's by his Spirit. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse, if ye then be risen with Christ. Well, we were crucified with Christ, and when he rose, we were yet in him, and we rose in him representatively. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above and not on things of the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God of the living. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein you walked in time past, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh and in the fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us. Together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Now, what man is it that has a wife that he truly loves, who doesn't give her every privilege who doesn't give her all the honor and glory that a man should give his wife? With what joy and gladness, and with what esteem will the church of the Lord Jesus Christ meet when they come to heaven? Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, and listen to this, and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Well, it's like Brother Jerry said, all these other churches around are mausoleums. Houses of the dead. And I think Brother Jim Bird calls them goat pastures. So I am thankful. Thankful of life in the Lord Jesus, and thankful for that He is my God. You know, some people might consider it presumption to say that the God of the Bible is my God. But I know that I would never believe this Bible if He hadn't given me that faith. I wouldn't believe. It's impossible. And I think that all of the old martyrs who faced death because of their testimony, Polycarp faced burning at the stake, and many, many, many of them all died. It was because they believed. There was nothing that helped them to that except their faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, is the gift of God. And we are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation. To Christ Jesus, we know He's our only hope. It's like He told, he asked the disciples, said, "Will you also go away?" Peter said, "To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." I'm very thankful for faith. And faith is very precious. And I think that some folks... I believe it happens that when some get set under the gospel, and the gospel begins to claim them, that for fear of loss of the world, the pleasure of sin, they begin to avoid the preaching of the gospel. That's the thing that shouldn't be done. And I'm not accusing anybody here of that. I'm saying that happens. When the gospel begins to make sense, you know, some people may begin to say, "Hey, I am not hardly ready for that. But we know that the Lord will have His sheep. If they're His, He'll reach out and gather them. But what a precious thing faith is to those who have it.
Yeah.
Amen. All right.